Our scripture reading tonight will be from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 25. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
Keep your Bibles open to the passage we just read. We're going to pick up there in the book of Romans tonight. I'm all set. I got fist bumps from both the boys. Marianne looked at me and gave me the head nod. You get the head nod, Larry, before you go up? Good luck, she told me. I had several people ask, you know, are you going to bring the heat tonight? And that's got to probably be a reflection of me barking at the four kids all the time to stop doing this or to do this or listen to mom or listen to me, whatever it happens to be. But I'm not bringing the heat tonight. This is a lesson of encouragement. As Caleb just read for us, this idea that we are children of God. And I don't know that we really think of our relationship with God in those terms often enough. And we need to. We need to recognize what God's done for us, that He does see us as His children. This idea of adoption, that's really what I want to elaborate on tonight, is the idea of adoption. First of all, it was an adventure to get here tonight. Marianne had left to get here a little early to come for the vacation Bible school, I guess, preparation meeting. And so I had the four kids to get ready, but she had the girls dressed. So, don't everybody give me too much credit. They were already dressed. I just had to put their sandals on. That can be an adventure. So really, it was just telling the boys to go get dressed, me get dressed, and get out the door. But Josh is gracious enough to be conducting his class that our children are benefiting greatly from. Thank you, brother, for your efforts there. And so I wanted to get here on time. I was scrambling everybody out the door, and I was coming up Drake. For those of you that come from that side of town, maybe over off of 14, or maybe from out there in Camden, what was it? Camden Ridge, Christian Ridge. You know that the Auburn Police Department, they're fond of kind of the side roads as you come up Drake. And so I get to the four-way stop, and ahead of me, I've got my eyes set on the red light. Because when you come that way, and if you can time it just right, you've got enough time to stop at the four-way stop and make the green light. Or maybe you see that the light's just turning green, or it's the last stages of red, and you realize, hey, I can make it. And so as I come up over the rise, come to the four-way stop, still a little bit red, but it turns green, and I'm in the process of slowing down to come to a stop. A stop that I was completely satisfied with, mind you. A stop that I would believe almost completely meets the intent of a full stop. But as we often do when we come to those intersections, I kind of look to the right and I see one of Auburn's finest, parked a little ways up the road, very strategically placed, I might add. And we kind of make eye contact, I believe. At least that's how I saw it. And I believe that I had his express approval to proceed through that intersection. And so I did. But in the back of my mind, I started realizing, you know what? I probably could have paused a little bit longer at that stop sign, in all fairness. So as I approach the light, and it is indeed green, I look in the rearview mirror, and he's making the turn to follow. So one of the things I would like to propose to the elders is we could use a nice Church of Christ sign on this side of the building so that when you turn in, the police officers realize what you're doing. You're going to church. Because I believe that might be beneficial in some instances. So I pulled in, and he pulled in. The light's not on yet, and I'm thinking this is just going to be a nice conversation. Maybe he's coming to church with us. And so he pulls in, you know, and they never pull in completely beside you because they're going to kind of get right back at that angle because I'm a perpetrator at this point. And he wants me to realize that. And so rather than get out like I normally would to make Josh's class and get the four of my kids into the building, I decide to use some caution and I just kind of stick my head out and say, should I start getting my kids out? And he's like, I think I would just stay put. So he walked up and very quickly I pointed out, you know, your mind's going, you need to say all the right things here. Like I thought about rolling the windows down and letting the kids, you know, say, hey, it's a police officer. We love police officers. And I resisted the urge to do that because who knows really what the kids might say in an instance like that. Like Jesse in the back might have said, Dad, you know you didn't really stop at that stop sign. I didn't need that. I needed them to back me up in this instance that I had fully stopped. You know, and you start kind of getting this attitude, right? You're thinking, I'm just trying to get my kids to Bible class. So I think to myself, okay, let's make mention of a couple of things. So the very first thing I said, good afternoon, officer. Nice day. I said, is there a problem? I've always found that's a good idea is to ask, is there a problem while you're getting pulled over? And he said, well, you ran through that stop sign. And you know, and I wanted to really debate the fine points of that because I really did not feel like I ran. Running through it to me is not stopping, and I didn't do that. Nevertheless, very quickly, the next thing I tried to recover, and I said, well, officer, I'm trying to get my four children, multiple children always helps, trying to get my four children to Bible class. In my estimation, I've done all I can do. It's in his hands. He can choose what to do. So I give him the driver's license. I give him my insurance card. And I said, is it okay if I go ahead and get the kids unloaded? And again, he's like, let's just keep the kids right where they're at. Meanwhile, Jesse and Andrew turn around looking at the flashing lights, making comments about, we're going to jail. Dad, you're in trouble. The girls were just kind of like, look, it's a police officer. And so, you know, I think the vein on the side of my head's starting to throb a little bit. So he goes, he comes back very quickly. When they come back quick, that's always a good sign. He's ran me real quick. I don't have any priors, no outstanding warrants, anything like that. So very quickly, he just says, Mr. Roberts, if you don't mind, just show a little more caution. If you could just pause a little longer at that stop sign, I would appreciate that. So, wow. Technically, that qualifies as being arrested. So, Larry, I don't know if you've ever been arrested on the way to delivering a lesson or not. So I think I'm one up on them tonight. If you're in the audience tonight, you're visiting with us, we're very grateful for your presence. Thank you for coming this way. I look out and I may see a few fresh faces out there. We're glad that you're here. I'm not the normal evangelist. Larry Rouse normally is occupying this pulpit on a regular basis. But he's gracious enough to allow those of us who would like to present a lesson. And I dropped a hint with dear sweet Yvette. She passed it along to her husband. And the next thing you know, I get a call from Larry saying, hey, you got that lesson done that you were talking to Yvette about. And I really didn't have it completely done, but enough of it that I was able to get it done. And so I want to talk to you tonight, and I'd like for you to keep your Bibles open. I'd like for you to follow along with me. Obviously, what I read from God's Word, there's going to be no question about that, so you don't really have to worry too much about what I'm going to say. But when I kind of start making my own points here, I would ask that you very carefully follow along with me. If you hear me say something that doesn't sound quite right, that you think conflicts with what the Word of God really has to say and your understanding of it, you would be a friend to me in letting me know that. But, you know, we often look at our children with amazement. You know, the verse that Caleb read for us talked about this idea of us being children of God, and it talked about adoption, and that's really what I want to talk about tonight, this concept of adoption that God's Word goes into and elaborates on. But we look at our children and we go, wow, we made those. You know, there was nothing, and then there was life, and it was growing in the womb, and then it's not in the womb anymore, and there's a whole lot more responsibility to it when that child is no longer growing, in that stage anyway. But we look at our children with amazement and we go, wow, we made that child. I look at my kids, ranging in age from 9 to 3, and I think, you know, Marianne and I, we made that. We made this. By the miracle that God blessed us with, the ability to have children, we made this. They're our children. This they are naturally born children. And so I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about some dear friends of ours. They're in the process of adopting a child. And for those of you that maybe have had some experience with that or know people that have done that or maybe trying to do that, it's a very lengthy process. There's applications. There's people coming to your home to meet you and interview you. They're not satisfied with just meeting and interviewing you. They want to meet and interview friends and acquaintances, people that can vouch for you. Very long process, which makes sense. I mean, obviously, it's a huge responsibility. You're going to place the care of a child or with someone. You want to make sure that they're capable of doing that. So I started thinking about this couple and what they were about to do and just thinking, wow, you know, what an act of love that is. What an act of sacrifice to give up, you know, not having kids. We all remember what that was like. For those of you that you know, aren't married yet, don't have your kids, you'll know the pre and post soon enough. You'll know what that's all about. And you know, the sacrifice and the love that it takes to do this act. And to take someone that's not yours, that's not your responsibility, and to bring them into your life and to care for them and to love them and to give them what perhaps they're lacking in their life is just incredible. I should know because I was adopted. I was 5 years old. A sister was 3. Don't know a lot about that. You know, it's strange. You would think as I look at my children and I see the things that they're doing at that early age and all the memories they're making, you would think, surely they're going to remember this for the rest of their life. But there's some strange thing. Maybe it's for their good because of all the things that they get into. Those first 3, 4, 5 years really are hard to remember way down the road. You know, you have to get a little bit older before you start really being able to put memories and associating events and timelines and things like that. But, you know, it's a challenge to remember those kinds of things. But, you know, I got to thinking about my adoption and my sister. And, you know, we've got a little bit of information to go on, but not much. Never met my birth mother or father following the adoption. But I thought about that. I thought about this concept of adoption, and I experienced it firsthand, and I knew what it was like to be in an uncertain set of circumstances, in a situation that maybe wasn't always the best, and to have someone come along and say, you know what, I'll take these two children, and I'll take them, we'll take them into our home, and we'll raise them to the best of their ability, and we'll give them the best home we can possibly provide. And I just, again, I'm just stunned at how people can do that. You know, it's one thing to take a small infant, right? You take an infant and you can develop that child and nurture that child and you can really mold that child. But when you start talking about taking children at an older age, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they come along with, what baggage. Trust me, I know I had to have some baggage. I had to have some baggage. I don't know what I was like at 5 years old, but I think I may be reliving it with my children in some degree, and so I have a taste of that, I believe. You know, and maybe I was a handful, and maybe, you know, maybe I needed a lot of correction or whatever it happened to be. But I just marvel at considering that these two strangers would take me and my sister into their life. And so I'm really fascinated by what God's Word has to say about this topic of adoption. And I'd like for us to consider it tonight. And so I'm going to share several verses with you where this idea is really illustrated, it's brought, it's mentioned, And then I'm just going to share with you some of my personal reflections upon my own adoption. And let's see how that kind of relates to what God's Word has to say about it. So, as we've just read here in Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So, Father, Father. So, what is it that was received? It wasn't this spirit of slavery. It wasn't the sort of slavery that the Israelites experienced in being slaves to the law. And we've talked a lot about that. In Rusty's class, we've talked about that a little bit this morning. I know Larry's expounded, obviously, on it before, the concept of, you know, what the old law did, the purpose of it, and what the better new covenant provided in the sacrifice that Jesus made once for all. But it's not this spirit of slavery, but it's leading to fear again, but it's a spirit of adoption. We're sons, we're children. And you think about that for a second. How encouraging is it to you to know that God considers you one of His adopted children? And you get all the benefits that go with that. Let's read on, let's see what those are. It says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. You know, let's not skip over that too quickly. We're called fellow heirs with Christ. That's powerful stuff to be reading. I mean, we look at Christ and we go, this is Christ. He's at the right hand of God. But God's Word here is, as Paul's writing to the church in Rome, he tells this group of Christians, he tells us today, that we are heirs of God and we are fellow heirs with Christ. And that's just amazing stuff for us to consider. You know, he does point out here in this verse 17, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. So, it's not something that just comes free. It's not something that's just given lightly. There's a price that has to be paid. We have to meet God's requirements. His Word lays out for us what His expectations are for us as His children. Just as we lay out the expectations for our children. We tell them what's expected in our households, and we expect them to abide by that. And our God is fair just like that. He's just. He lets us know what He expects of us as His children. But we're reminded that we are heirs of God and we're fellow heirs with Christ. And of course, Paul would point out verse 18, something that really helps us when we're being challenged in our lives, when we find the circumstances that are facing us seem like they're overwhelming, insurmountable odds, whatever it might be, we can look to Paul's attitude. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He uses that verse right after he's talked about this idea of being children of God, being heirs of God, and being fellow heirs with Christ. That's why he can say what he just said in verse 18. He says the sufferings of this present age are nothing compared with the fact that God has allowed me to be His child. He's going to treat me as an heir, a fellow heir with His precious Son. Again, it's incredible to think that God loves us this much, that He was willing to bestow this great benefit upon us in adopting us. You know, and Caleb read on this idea about this anxious longing of the creation. The creation is longing for the God who created it. And that there's a longing within us, hopefully, to be home one day with our Father in heaven. That would be our aim, our desire. As children of God, we would see that as our goal clearly. Would recognize that we want to be heirs like Christ. But you know how Christ was able to attain that? You know, sometimes we lose sight of that too, right? Christ came in human form, and He dealt with every temptation that we face. He was tempted in every fashion as we are, but was without sin. He completed the will of His Father. He was obedient to the point of the cross. He was nailed to that cross in being obedient to His Father. And as a result, He was brought back up to heaven with His Father. And that's what can be said of us one day if we will remain faithful to God. So as we read on through here, we get to verse 23. It says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So Paul expands upon this idea of adoption. It's not just that we're adopted once we are in this relationship. You know, Christ in His sacrifice upon the cross, He provided redemption for mankind. A redemption that is free to all. That is available to all who would seize upon that. who would recognize and render the obedience that God calls from each of us, and would do those things that the New Testament so clearly points out in what it means to render obedience. To be able to confess that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. That we'd be willing to confess that our lives weren't always what they needed to be. There's sin in our lives. That we were separated from God and that we needed the blood of Jesus to forgive us. And that we would admit that, that we would confess that. We would be willing to be baptized in water. To be immersed in water, as the New Testament would tell us. As we look through the book of Acts and we see all those examples of conversions, it's really simple to see what people did to get into that right relationship with God. And we can do that today. We have the benefit of that. God has allowed this world to continue. There are more people that He wants to consider adopted children, that He wants to call children of God, and that He wants to say are fellow heirs with His Son. So verse 24 says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." You know, verse 15, this idea of a spirit of adoption. You know, we were not born as children of God as the Hebrews were. You know, He set that nation of people apart. And He said, "You will be my people, I will be your God." He had a very special relationship with them. The other nations, they didn't enjoy that relationship. They were outside of that relationship with God. So the Hebrews enjoyed this very special relationship with God. But you know, the idea is that they would need this adoption too. When we get into the New Testament, you know, the Jews, based on just following the law, that wasn't adequate. It wasn't enough. They would need this same adoption that He would offer to all upon Christ coming and living here upon this earth and teaching. You know, verse 23, this second adoption that He talks about here. I like this concept too. The redemption of our body. So there's this initial adoption that we experience, and we can be called children of God, and we can be called these heirs. But our bodies are going to be adopted. We're going to be redeemed. There'll be a time at the end of our life when God says it's that time, that the corruptible will put on incorruptible. You know, you think of that language and the imagery of what that's going to be like for each and every one of us if we are faithful children of God. And it's just amazing to me. Look in Romans chapter 9. Just one chapter over. Let's look at the first 8 verses here. In Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. "I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants." So that's talking about us. You know, we get to enjoy that benefit, the benefit that the nation of Israel had, being a special people. That's what God calls us to be today, His own special people, His own chosen generation. A royal priesthood. I mean, language that just really seems kind of crazy for us. That we would look upon ourselves that we are a royal priesthood. That's what God says we are. His Word instructs us in that, tells us that's who we should be. The idea that we would be separate from this world, not in that we can't live in this world, that we can't be a part of this world, but there's a separation by the things that we choose to do, the things that we choose not to do, the people we choose to be in being pleasing to God and being able to be considered His children. You know, God had this plan of adoption from the very beginning. I love as Josh works with our young children, the boys and the girls, and they keep going over this great plan. You know, and I can't hear it enough. I can't hear it from the mouths of our children enough as they go through the purple cards. And they state, you know, in the beginning, from the beginning, God had a great plan. He did. He had this plan that we might be considered adopted children. He intended for it to be thus. And He's made it so. Look over in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1. writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons. This concept that I want us to talk about tonight. Think about this idea of what he had in mind for us. As adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Again, this idea of what has been done for us, the redemption that we have gained by the sacrifice of his Son. And then finally, over in Galatians chapter 3, let's turn back a book. Galatians chapter 3, beginning of verse 26. Through the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So verse 27, for all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ and can be called sons of God, as we read in verse 26, through our faith in Christ Jesus. You know, what no man has been able to do, it doesn't matter who the greatest person you can think of, Gandhi, any other person you thought of that has been pro-peace, that has sought to bring humanity together, to bring mankind together, which obviously, as we look even to this present day and this present point in time, as we see the conflict that's going on in various areas, yeah, no one's been able to do that. But you know who's capable of doing that? God is. Because ultimately, we're all his creation. Now, we've got it messed up. We've got this idea that there's this sense of national identity and our national heritage, and sometimes that sets us apart from our neighbor and causes us to have ill will for them, so much so that we would go to battle against them. But God is the perfect person to bring peace for his creation, and he did it by sending his Son. The idea is that his Son would come, he would live as we live, he would suffer, he would be the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins, with the idea of bringing the world together, the idea of breaking down every barrier. You know, we read through the end of this verse and he says there's no Jew, there's no Greek. That certainly had application to this time, the first century, perhaps the problems that the first century church was having when you had those Jewish Christians that were struggling with all the stuff that goes along with trying to keep the old law and what they came out of. The Gentile converts, of course, they were worshiping pagans and doing just anything and everything. And bringing those groups together, that was quite the challenge. But Jesus was up to it. His life, his ministry was capable of doing that. And Paul's trying to remind these Galatians here to say, there's neither Jew, you're not a Jew anymore, you're not a Greek, you're not a slave, you're not free, you're not male, you're not female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. This idea that we can all be united together, we can all be called children of God. It's just absolutely amazing, the plan that God has for us. Can you imagine a world where that would be so? Where we'd be able to set aside the differences that we have with each other and recognize that we're all just children of God? It's incredible to consider what life might be like. So here's some of the verses that I wanted to share with you and for you to kind of think about along these lines of adoption. Now let me share some of my personal thoughts on what I've learned from being adopted. So let me just kind of run through the list here. What a tremendous blessing to be chosen to be part of a family. You know, the rest of you just happened, as I like to put it. I was handpicked. You know, I would sometimes, I wouldn't call it being ridiculed, but I'd have friends, close friends in a lot of instances, would always kind of give me a little bit of grief. And, you know, perhaps I was successful in something. You know, they would sometimes say, you know, that's not too bad for somebody that wasn't wanted. You know, things like a little jab here and a jab there. And again, I never took it that way. I don't think anybody's ever really trying to be ugly about something. It was just, you know, joking about those kinds of things. But just think about that for a second. You know, from my experience, you know, it wasn't just that, oh, well, okay, we seem to be pregnant here. And in 9 months, there's going to be a life that we're responsible for. Here we go. I mean, I was 5 years old. I mean, somebody had to look at me, and I'm not going to go into my entire story, but the people that adopted me, they had gotten to spend some time with me. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But they knew who I was. They knew what I was like. And they still said, you know what, we want you, and we want your sister. We're going to make you a part of our family. You know, and that's what God does for us. Despite who we are, despite our weaknesses, despite sometimes our just outright contempt as human beings, the very ugly nature of what we are and what we do and what we say sometimes, God still loves us. He still desires for us to be His children. You know, the second thing I was thinking about is it was outside my control. I was picked, and not because I was cute and cuddly in the window of a store. You know, like when you go to the pet store and you see the puppies. And you go, well, I don't like that one's kind of ugly, and his ears kind of half chopped off. That one's kind of limping a little bit. I don't want that. I want this one. That's the beautiful puppy. I'll take it. You know, God takes us with all our flaws. Just like my parents looked at me and said, wow, we probably got some work to do here. We've got 5 years worth of whatever it was, kind of upbringing that I had. But it wasn't the same household. I'm in a new household. There's new rules. There's new expectations. I had to learn that. I had to be trained in how to be a part of this family. I'm not suggesting that's a better way to do adoptions, by the way, just set the babies in a window. It might work, but, you know, that was outside of my control. And it's outside your control. I mean, God has made it so that you can have salvation, so that you can be redeemed. He's made it so. You didn't have anything to do with it. I was granted rights I did not deserve and that I had not earned. You know, I didn't deserve anything from these two people who adopted me. They didn't owe me anything. I hadn't done any great favor for them. You know, at five, it's not like I performed the Heimlich or anything, and they felt indebted to me, and so therefore I earned my way into this family. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But I got it. You know, and we need to be reminded of that. You know, you may be sitting in the audience tonight and you're a Christian. You know, sometimes we start thinking a little too much of ourselves as Christians, and we look at the world and we go, well, the world's lost. And the world, apart from Christ, is lost. And that should be our aim, to live our lives in such a way so that people see that we're different. They see that we understand what it means to be a children of God, what a privilege it is, and that they see in our lives service. They see us being servants. That'll have the kind of effect it needs to have on people's hearts. Now, obviously, we're going to share with them God's Word as well. We want to tell them who this God is that desires us to be His children. I was immediately part of a larger family. Aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. Went from having this very small family that I was aware of to this large extended family. You know, and I was amazed that people treated me like I was part of that family from the beginning. I never once, I only had one aunt. I will tell this short story. You just had to know her. She was my father's brother's wife. So my father's sister-in-law. When we first got introduced to her, I think it was at a funeral, and she shook my hand, which I thought was odd. She didn't hug me. She shook my hand, and she said, I don't really need any more nephews or nieces, but you can be my friend. I thought, well, that was very strange. She was very strange. But everybody else made me feel a part of something. They made me feel a part of the family. There was never once where I felt like I'm second rate, second fiddle. It was like my mother and father gave birth to me, and I was treated that way from the get-go. You know, when you come out of the world and you render obedience to the gospel and you put aside all the things that you're involved in beforehand, that's how we're to treat you. We're to make you a part of our family. You've been adopted by God. You're suddenly part of this family. We're going to extend our hand of fellowship to you. We want you to be a part of this work here. That's how we should treat each other. We become a part of a much larger family. And the thing that's always amazed me about Christians, it doesn't matter where we go. We can go anywhere. And when we meet Christians, it's like we're right at home. You know, people inviting you, they've never met you before. You worship with them, they're like, hey, come back to my house and have lunch. Or do you need a place to stay? Or whatever it happens to be, because we're part of this large family. We're children of God. I became an heir to an inheritance as a result of my adoption. Now, it's not that my parents had a lot that they would be leaving to me. I didn't get adopted by Bill Gates or some rich person or some famous person or whatever. But I was an heir to the inheritance. You know, they didn't go, well, you're just adopted children, so really what we're going to do is leave the inheritance to some other family member. No, we were their children, my sister and I. We were heirs to that inheritance, and that's what God has given us. He treats us that same way. You know, I saw love manifested by those who had no reason to show me love or kindness. That really stands out to me. These two people owed me nothing. I didn't deserve to be loved by them. I didn't deserve to get to be raised by them. You know, oftentimes it gets confusing when you're telling people about your story, right? That I had always say my parents, and that to me means those parents who raised me. And when people ask me about who I was born by, I say, well, those are my biological parents. But I always referred to the people that raised me as my parents. I wanted them to know without a doubt that I recognized what they had done for me, the great blessing they had bestowed upon me and my sister. And they showed love to us, to two children that they didn't owe anything to. You know, that's what God's done through His Son. He's shown love to us. He's manifested His love to us through His Son. You know, I was granted peace and security. From what we know of our background, it wasn't the best. We weren't in the best situation. My sister and I, as we believe, had different fathers. So there wasn't stability. Didn't feel like there was a lot of security. And instantly I had security. I felt safe. My sister felt safe. We had stability. We knew where we were going to be. And we knew what was going to happen. We knew we were going to wake up the next morning and we're going to be right there. You know, and that's what God gives you. When you submit yourself to His will, when you cast off the old man and you're baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you become that child of God, you have peace and you have security that the world can't comprehend. The world can't provide it. The world doesn't understand it. But God knows what it's all about, and He wants us to know it too. He wants us to know the peace and security that comes in the relationship that we have with Him. And then finally, one last point. I realized that I was loved by purpose and not because of obligation. I've said that several times because that's probably what resonates the most for me in my story. These two people purposed to love me. They set out to love me and my sister. Of that I have no doubt. They took two children from whatever background it is that we came from, and their goal was, we're going to provide for these children. There's going to be peace and security and stability, and there's going to be love. They're going to know that they're loved. You know, when God adopts us, He wants us to understand that. He wants us to understand that He loves us and that He cares for us. I hope we understand that. I hope that as we live our lives as children of God, that we'll think about the fact that we've been adopted. And that we would compare how somebody goes about the adoption process today and understand what goes into that. Perhaps the sacrifices that are made in that, which there are. Obviously, we can see the parallel in the sacrifice that God had to make for us to adopt us in sending His Son and to offer Him up as that sacrifice. But we see the love of God clearly. We see that He purposed in sending His Son. He purposed to allow us a way of escape to make our lives right with Him. That's really all I have to say tonight. I would like to suggest for you tonight that you're either in two states in the audience. You're either a child of God, you've been adopted as a son, as a daughter, by God Himself, you've been redeemed by His Son, and perhaps you're in the audience tonight and you really have strayed from that adoption. You've been doing things in your life that aren't right. You realize that perhaps you might even sit here in this very audience tonight and you're separate from God. You recognize that maybe the things that you're involved with, maybe the sin that is in your life that's crept back in, keeps you separated from God, and only you know it. What a wonderful opportunity tonight. As you've listened to me kind of share my story and my thoughts, my personal perspective on this idea of adoption, that you would want to realize that again, that you would want to reach out to God and say, God, I know I'm not doing what I need to do. I know I'm not living the way I need to live, but I want to be considered one of your children. And I want to know that when this life is over, the promises is that you have set in place for me, the eternal peace and security that you will grant me, can be mine if I will once again be faithful to you. If you're in that situation, make your life right with God tonight. Those that are around you, they're your adopted brethren as well, and they would desire that you make your life right with God. We would encourage you in any way possible to do that and come forward and make your life right. Or you're in the other category, and that is you haven't been adopted by God yet. You know, all of us in some way or form can be described as children of God because we are His creation. But the relationship that we're talking about here that we've discussed tonight, this special idea of us being adopted, it comes as an open invitation from God that we have to accept. God won't force Himself upon us. He has revealed His will to us in His Word. He sent His Son to us as the perfect sacrifice. And He allows us to respond to the invitation. So the invitation for you tonight is, if you're not a child of God, you're not an adopted son or daughter of God, consider my story. You know, I've benefited from this twice now. From the physical perspective of being adopted by parents that didn't owe me anything, that were under no obligation to me, who showered me with love. Unconditional love they showered upon me as their children, as their adopted son, and my sister as their adopted daughter. And that is what our God does for you tonight. He's willing to do that. He will adopt you into His family. You can be considered a child of God. And all it takes is following the example that the New Testament tells us about. Perhaps something that I've said tonight strikes a chord in your heart, and perhaps you're not ready. Maybe you've got some questions that you might have. We'd love to be able to answer those for you and to study more in detail what it means to be a child of God. But if you're subject to the invitation, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing.